then there will be enough time for, then he'll make the time for me. There will be enough time for me to do school or whatever I need, but just not necessarily any time to waste. And so when that realization really sunk into me, since then, by his mercy, I've actually been able to keep up with the commitment to chanting 16 rounds. So I would see that by his mercy, that despite being busy with school, sometimes with job or with other services, but I've been able to keep this instruction. I remember one bus tour, me and one of my friends, Krishna Prem Das, we went to Mangalwati before, I think the LA Rath Yatra, and I think it was Apoorva Prabhu, he really appreciated us there, and he told the pastor, Prabhupada, he was asking someone, like, are you chanting your 16 rounds? And they said, no, Prabhupada said, when you chant 16 rounds, Krishna is holding your hand, taking you back to Godhead. And that always really, that's really helped me to hold on to what Srila Prabhupada has given. And then one last pastime of Srila Prabhupada's glory that's always inspired me to take his instructions to my heart is of his relationship with Sethi Prabhu. Prabhupada had one servant named Sethi. I believe him and his wife used to host Srila Prabhupada for breakfast, was it? And so one day Srila Prabhupada was going to a program, this was in India, and he heard that Prabhupada, Sethi is in the hospital, he's going to pass away very soon, he's going to leave his body soon. Prabhupada said, what? And so he dropped the preaching program he was going to do just to go see this devotee on his deathbed. And so Prabhupada came in with, I think Giriraj Maharaj was there and some other devotees. And so Prabhupada came in and Sethi said, Prabhupada, you're here. And Prabhupada said, yes. And Sethi said, Srila Prabhupada, I'm going to die. And Prabhupada said, no, you're not going to die. Krishna says, my devotees will never be vanquished. And so Prabhupada instructed one of his disciples to read out of Bhagavad Gita, second chapter, I believe. And so they were reading Bhagavad Gita, reading, and Prabhupada, he was sitting, and his eyes were closed, and his face was kind of moving in an interesting way. And I think Giriraj Maharaj was noting this. And at one point, Prabhupada just opened his eyes and said, you don't need all these, like, cords, IVs in you. And Prabhupada just started taking off all the medical equipment, and Sethi was fine. And Prabhupada said, I'll see you tomorrow. And he just walked out. Sethi was shocked. Like, for, like, you know, a little bit ago, I was going to die, and then all of a sudden, he just pulls out the cords, and he's fine. And so Giriraj Maharaj, like, he couldn't just keep silent about this. So yeah, he had to ask Prabhupada, how did you do that? You know, he was really going to die, and Prabhupada just pulled everything out and he was fine. And so Prabhupada said, it was very difficult. I had to argue with Krishna. And Giriraj Maharaj said, what? And so Prabhupada said, yes, Krishna, I was telling Krishna, well, Krishna, you promised that your devotee never perishes. And Krishna said, no, but it's his time to go. And Prabhupada said, no, you promised that my devotee never perishes. And so I have to hold you this promise. So Prabhupada said, so it was very difficult, but I won. And he started laughing.
Mother Vaglati and then Upendra Hari. Are you here? Upendra?
Well, like many of the younger generation, although I was on the planet when Prabhupada was here, I saw him a few times and got to be in his presence and become his initiated disciple. I also have very little personal association with him. Mostly it's from reading Prabhupada Lilamrita and from living and being in the association of so many wonderful devotees. So one thing I wanted to say, devotees are encouraging that everyone speak. So, and someone said, especially the senior devotees. Well, I'll say especially the younger devotees, because it's coming, that there won't be any Prabhupada disciples that have personal memories of him. And you need to, just for this one day and his appearance day, put aside the shyness, put aside the humility that makes you, but actually take the opportunity to find some words to glorify Srila Prabhupada. And please know that it does inspire all of us who are hearing any little thing to know, oh, I read this or I heard this on a memories tape and it meant something to me, or Prabhupada came to me in a dream, whatever it is. And what I was thinking about actually this morning was where I was when Srila Prabhupada left the planet and how the news came to me and how I heard shortly after that one class had been given. I was back in Hawaii from where I had joined. And I can't now remember which part of the Bhagavatam it's in, but it was in reference to a certain part in Srimad Bhagavatam. And there were statements being read that when the spiritual master leaves, the disciple should also leave out of grief. But then the purport was given, no, but the thing is you give up sense gratification and you give your life in service to Krishna. And the situation I was in at that time, I actually could not see it possible at all that I could do this. And I contemplated leaving at that time, pretty seriously, actually. But I was thinking this morning, that was 36 years ago. But at that time, I had never been to India. I'd been to Vrindavan so many times, heard from so many wonderful devotees, been to the lotus feet of Krishna Balaram, sat in kirtans with Ayendra Prabhu. So many wonderful, rich treasures. And at that time, I had never been to Kitanagari. I spent 30 years there. Never would have come here. You know, and so most of my Krishna conscious life, all of us, you know, it's without Prabhupada's personal presence on the planet, and yet it's so deep and so rich. And so I just wanted to thank him for manifesting in all of you and for keeping me around in spite of my still inability to follow perfectly. Hare Krishna.
Upendra Prabhu and then another Gaur Bhakti.
Ram Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vishnaya Kalesi Mati Vakti Ranta Samantinam Namaste Sarasvati Vivara Pracharinani Vashisa Sinyavari Vashyati Ansatayam.
One day I left the moment for some time, trying to enjoy my youth life, and so Prabhupada appeared in a dream, and it was very beautiful because he actually was in my city, Medellin, Colombia, from when I joined first, and they had this big stadium, and it was full of people. The stadium was full of people. And right in the middle was Srila Prabhupada leading a humongous kirtan. And I was right there. And I thought that I have left such an amazing life being a devotee. And what I was thinking, so then I saw Prabhupada just coming to this dream. And then later on I heard that if you dream about the spiritual master, it's the spiritual master is right there. It's not a concoction or something that your mind came and made it up. And so after that, I started traveling in Colombia and Ecuador, different temples, and I try to, you know, continue with the process. And later on, I came to America and got to meet so many wonderful Prabhupada disciples and so many devotees of Krishna. And I am very, very grateful to Srila Prabhupada for having come to this dream and letting me and showing me that you're in the right path, you're in the right moment. Because thirst is, when you join, it's kind of, you know, everything is so nice and so wonderful, but at the same time, you have all these things, school and all these things going on. So thanks to Prabhupada, I'm still here right now chanting Hare Krishna and struggling every day for becoming one day a servant of the servant of the servant. And thanks to my Guru Maharaj Jayapataka Swami for being such a good example for preaching regardless of his bodily condition. And So he's doing so much, even though in a wheelchair. So what cannot I do something for, you know, to show that gratitude to my guru and to Srila Prabhupada? So please bless me so I can continue with your association and doing something to please Prabhupada. Thank you so very much, Hare.
Another Gaur Bhakti and then Divyanga Prabhu.
Thank you for giving me this chance to glorify Prabhupada. I have got a couple of pastimes of Prabhupada from Ramakrishna Maharaj's diary, couple of his final pastimes, because he was with him for months and months, 24 hours a day. And when Prabhupada would wake up in the morning, first thing he would say was Samar. So I found this very nice. One day he woke up, Prabhupada woke up from his rest, and he said to Swami Krishna Maharaj that he said he just saw in a dream, he was telling Maharaj, Prabhupada was, he said, Prabhupada said, I saw in a dream that devotees were on Sankirtan, and they were distributing Krishna consciousness to the general mass of people, and the people were becoming devotees. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, he asked, did any of the devotees fall victims and join the fallen souls? Prabhupada said, certainly not. How could they? Their names were already engraved, quote unquote, going back home, back to Godhead. So, and another, okay, this one is one of the final pastimes, one of the final months. Pishima came, Prabhupada's sister, and she wanted to cook for him. And when she cooked, she always cooked kachoris and the whole feast for him. And Prabhupada hadn't eaten anything for months. So when she wanted to cook for him, Prabhupada said, let her cook. And one of the, I think it was Kirtananda Maharaj, he said, no, Prabhupada, you cannot eat this. It will harm your health too much. But Prabhupada said, anyway, she wants to serve me, let her cook. And so she cooked kachoris and so many wonderful things in mustard oil, of course. And Prabhupada just sat up and he started eating all of Pishima's cooking. And how Prabhupada ate and digested after not having eaten anything for months. I'm just reading straight from his diary. Nothing happened to him. He was fine. He said, this will not harm me, and he was fine. And this is something from personal appreciation. You know, this book you might have seen by Mula Prakriti Mataji from Vrindavan. So there's one story about this this lady, Geeta Sharaf, she's the lady that donated her land to Prabhupada for Krishna Balram Temple. Despite her husband not agreeing, she donated all the land to Prabhupada. So I just wanted to read something. There's one Mataji in Vrindavan, she still lives there. Her name is Devi Shakti Dasi. She's older Prabhupada's disciple. And she wrote a poem, Srila Prabhupada's Secret. And it's a long poem, but I'll just read a little bit. She said, one respected devotee, Srimati Geeta Devi, she gave this land to Prabhupada despite her husband's plea. As a surrendered soul, she depended on her deity to make the right decision, and here we sit today. And now she had become elderly, maybe her husband died and she was alone. She goes on in her poem. She told Devi Shakti, you know, Srila Prabhupada was just like my own father. He cared for me, and that is why I gave to him and to no other. He told me a secret one day when we were all alone. I'll tell you what he said to me. It's something you should know. So this Geeta Sharaf, she's telling Mother Devi Shakti, she's saying that I came to see him one evening. He was sitting in his garden in Krishna Balaram Mandir. Devotees sat by his feet, secretary and servants all around. As I came close, he smiled at me and told them all to go. I sat nearby his lotus feet, and this is what he told. He said, this is Geeta Sharaf speaking. She said, Prabhupada said, Krishna sent me here to preach. He sent me from above. With English, Bengali, and Hindi, I could preach all over the world. I have almost finished my task, and soon I'll return to him. He told her this in 1976. After that, our lives went dim. So, this is Srila Prabhupada's secret he told to Geeta Sharaf, and I was just wondering like why he never told any of his disciples directly that. One time somebody asked him, what were you in the spiritual world, and Prabhupada said, I read that somewhere. And he said, if I told you, you'll never believe. And here also he's telling this Geeta Sharaf that I came, Krishna sent me here to preach. He sent me from above, and I've almost finished my task. Soon I'll return to him. I was thinking maybe he didn't tell us that, because then we will not give him the credit, like every little thing we'll say, well, Prabhupada could do that because he came from up above. We can't do that. You know, like Prabhupada traveled at the age of 70, and he worked so hard to preach and do unlimited things that every time we'll say, oh, he could do that. I'm 70, but I can't do that. I'm 50, I can't do that. But he could do that because he's from the spiritual world. So I was thinking maybe that's why he didn't tell us. But this is in this book, so I just wanted to share with you. Jai Shri Krishna.
Younger Prabhu, and then Mother Ragatmika.
Haribo Prabhu. Sarva Vaishnavara Pai Kori Namaskar Ite Aparada Kichu Nahuka Amar. I offer my obeisances to the fate of all devotees, so I don't make any offense to any of them. Prabhupada talked about cooperation. He said, if you want to please us, please me, after I leave, you should cooperate. And Vaisheshika Prabhu, I quote him as saying, the hardest austerity you'll ever perform is to cooperate. Unfortunately, Prabhupada said, if you don't cooperate, that could be the only thing that could stop us. And we have personal experience of this. So what we have to do is we have to rededicate ourselves to Srila Prabhupada. People have been talking about Vani and Vopu. The good news is that by listening to Srila Prabhupada while you're reading or while you're listening to his lectures or however you associate with him, that's the same as being there. And if you look at Srila Prabhupada's life, when he met his spiritual master, he had a few moments association and then years went by. Literally, years went by before any manifestation of Prabhupada's seva to his guru, even though the whole time Prabhupada was on his mission. So I take heart at that, because my personal association with Prabhupada was just a few moments when I got lucky in Chicago to clean his room, because I'd tried to get on the morning walk so many times and I was so frustrated at not being able to get on that walk. And a lot of devotees would sneak on the walk. My friend Ruchi would come and say, come on, Div, I know where they're going. We'll hide in the bushes. We'll jump out. What can they say? But we also had this thing that we were supposed to be respectful and do what we were told. In the Uttama Sloka in the present, everybody said, don't dare do that. Some did, but I didn't. I thought, I don't want to just jump in. But I really got close one morning when Jagadish gave me his seat in the car, because it started raining. Right? I was going to go on the walk. Been waiting for a week for this, and I was going to be on that walk that morning, and then it started raining, and then the car pulled up, you know, they pulled up in a Lincoln, and the car was full, of course, except for one seat, and Jagadishu was our GBC. He came to me, and he knew my situation. He said, Div, get in the car. So I thanked him and jumped in the car, and of course, 5 seconds later, my dear friend Brahmananda Swami came and literally threw me out of the car. What are you doing here? What's a brahmachari doing in this car? Get out. So, you know, I humbly you know, kind of crawled away. I looked at Prabhupada, what could I say? And then, so they offered me the service to clean Prabhupada's quarters, which I took. And me and a couple other brahmacharis, we cleaned Prabhupada's quarters every day, which was wonderful. You could go in there and associate with his pen and his dictaphone and all of his shastra and all of his personal stuff. And anyway, so one morning Upendra said, you can garland Srila Prabhupada, how would you like to do that? So that's what I got to do, and that was the only time Prabhupada said one word to me. He said, thanks. I garlanded Prabhupada, and we were face to face, and I said, Jai Srila Prabhupada, and he looked at me and said, thanks. Just like, not thank you, not, just thanks. And I didn't know what to do, you know, I was kind of stunned, and we started to pay obeisances, but it had just started raining at that time. And Prabhupada said, no, get up. And he just reached down and he grabbed me by my kurta to stop me from paying obeisances. And I was just like, wow, I've been touched. Now he said thanks, and he actually touched me. So that was it. That was the only personal association I ever had with him. I went to his classes, and I got as close as I could to Vyasa-san and tried to stay awake and hear him. But most of my service was done out in the field. And as I read Prabhupada's books and his letters and the memories, I hear so much of that. Most of the devotees weren't in there with Prabhupada. I love hearing these stories with Shankar and all these devotees, you know, that had that personal association. It's so wonderful. But no one should misunderstand this philosophy. The philosophy is that if you spend more time with Prabhupada, just like during your day, you have choices. And I find if I spend more time hearing Bhagavatam or lectures or hearing Prabhupada, then my consciousness, of course, is better than if I spend it listening to ESPN or Comedy Central or so many other things that we listen to. So the devotee has to take that initiative. It's like the man in the well. You throw the rope in to save him. And then man's in the well, say, help me, help me, help me. You throw the rope. The man at least has to grab that rope. If you don't reach out and grab onto Prabhupada's vani, if you don't hear from Srila Prabhupada, then you will not make any advancement. You don't just sit still where you are. You're either going up or you're sliding back down. So we have to take shelter of Srila Prabhupada like that. One of my favorite stories is when Prabhupada arrived in L.A., this was 72, and there was a big kirtan, and at the end of the kirtan, Prabhupada said, about 6 years ago, I came to your country single-handedly, and he was choked up, and he said, with this one pair of cymbals. He said, but now I see that you are all chanting Hare Krishna, this is my success. And in that lecture, Prabhupada said, my guru is number 10, I am number 11, and then he pointed to the devotee and said, and you are number 12 from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Prabhupada put this responsibility on all of us, because the disciple has a debt that can never be repaid, even though the sincere disciple has the responsibility of trying every single day of his life to repay that debt that can never be repaid. So Prabhupada actually gave it to us officially that this mission, Lord Chaitanya's mission, is in your hands now. And so you have to become, you have to rise to the plate, whatever your position is, you have to be Prabhupada's representative and emissary from the spiritual world, which luckily, because he's given us everything, we have all the books, you don't have to know much. You just have to be submissive and cooperate. Cooperate. It's a really hard thing to do. But if you cooperate with your spiritual master and with his disciples and grand disciples, then we can all make a huge, huge impact on the godless civilization that we find ourselves in. And even though this Kali Yuga is one in a thousand, this Kali Yuga, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan personally came, this is the chance, this is the chance of the lifetime of the universe that there's a special Kali Yuga, that all you have to do is chant and dance and you go back to Godhead. Now Prabhupada told us we have to cooperate, and he also told us that we have to try to help others. I love this quote here. This is from 77. Prabhupada's talking about our book distribution. And he says, we cannot expect the people of Kali Yuga to welcome our attempt to spread Krishna consciousness. It is just like a lunatic asylum. The patients are running around madly, but when the doctor comes to give them treatment, they insist that they are not crazy. Sometimes the patient even strikes the doctor. We have had that experience. So Prabhupada said, so our task is like that. Our task is a little difficult, he said. because you have to canvass a little. You have to go out and you have to go out of your way. And he said, superficially, it might seem like you're interrupting them. They're going about their business, and you come up to them and say, excuse me, and you have to interrupt them and say, excuse me, take this Krishna book. And Prabhupada said, the public may like or may not like, but your spiritual master has given you the order that you have to do this. So this is your order, and you have to do this perpetually. I mean, to repay a debt that can't be repaid, it's never ending, it's eternal. And it's wonderful because it's Prabhupada, and it's Gaurani Thai, and it's Radhe Shyam. We get this mercy to be involved in this. And just by living the lifestyle of Krishna consciousness, even if you don't personally go out and sell books or personally go out and do Rath Yatras like we do, whatever it is you do for Srila Prabhupada as an emissary of the spiritual world has to be done. And that's why Prabhupada set up the programs the way he does. That's why we have his temple once. We have morning programs. And we have hearing and chanting. And no matter what you're doing throughout your day, you can just be listening to Srila Prabhupada. So if you tune in to Srila Prabhupada and tune out all the other things that are going on, you'll find that your days go much quicker. And also auspicious, wonderful things happen. Like Prabhupada said, I wasn't invited to your country. And Prabhupada said he thought that as soon as he mentioned the four regular principles, they would say, go away. Which is really basically what the proof of sincerity is if you can take the order of the spiritual master and follow it. Because we've seen in so many years, I've been trying to follow Prabhupada for 40 years, and it's one of the hardest things you'll ever do is just to be a sincere disciple. So my meditation is always to try to be a sincere disciple. And what does that mean? That means to follow what Prabhupada... We went in front of the deities. He said, you've come in front of the fire, in front of the deities, in front of your guru, and in front of the Vaishnavas, and you've made this vow. So Prabhupada has stressed it so many times, you have to keep this vow. And if we don't keep the vow, then you can't stay in touch. That's where this vani is so important. You can say, oh, I never saw Prabhupada, but, you know, I'm his disciple. But what kind of a disciple am I? And I have to ask myself that every day, because it's not easy to follow these principles, but I'm not going to give up, and I keep on doing it every day. And I'm inspired by all my God brothers and God sisters that come and participate in this hearing and chanting every day, too. So I would like to thank all the devotees who participate in this, not in these holy days only, but the whole rest of the year, unsung heroes that are in that kitchen cooking and cleaning, and they're on that altar trying to make it look the way it does every single day, and they're trying to pay the bills to make sure the lights are on and make sure the insurance is paid, and all the details that are going on in Krishna's movement, Prabhupada wants each and every one of us to take responsibility for it. And we start with ourselves, because if we don't save ourselves, then we can't save anybody else. So it's important for each and every one of us to look at ourselves every day. And on these kind of days, it's easier, especially when you hear from the others. It's such an inspiration to hear what the devotees say and how they've related to Srila Prabhupada over all these years. So thank you so much for that. And I just pray to stay in your association. Hare Bol.
So Mother Ragatmika and Adidev Prabhu.
This community is very blessed to have Divyangya Prabhu here, a living example of absolute dedication to giving Krishna consciousness to others, as Srila Prabhupada's mood is. He mentioned cooperation. I recall the offering that Rabindra Sarup Prabhu made this year, his Vyas Puja offering. He calls Bhakti Yoga the yoga of cooperation. And he expounds on that very nicely. When Haladhar Prabhu was speaking, I also share that sentiment of appreciating all of Prabhupada's faithful followers, including those who were not who became devotees after Srila Prabhupada's departure. So I have a pastime that took place, a pastime of Srila Prabhupada that took place after his departure, to inspire all of you. In the 80s, in New York, after the New York Yatra moved to Skirmahorn Street, there's a devotee there who was distributing Srila Prabhupada's books so faithfully every day. Her name is Niti Laksha, and she was not necessarily, she didn't have big scores, but she was so faithful and steady for year after year after year, and for long hours, distributing Srila Prabhupada's books in Grand Central Station, Fifth Avenue, Port of Authority, wherever the Sankirtan leader told her to go. So one day when I was visiting New York in the late 80s, no, I wasn't visiting, I mean, I was in Long Island. I'm sorry. Yeah, and she told me she had a dream. She said, Prabhupada appeared to me and said, thank Rasagya for warming my clothes. Now, she didn't know what this meant. First of all, Rasagya was not present in New York at the time. She was in Spain with her husband serving there. And when Rasagya came to visit New York, sometime after that, she finally was able to ask Rasagya, or tell Rasagya, her dream. And Rasagya revealed to her then that, oh yes, I used to, in Spain, one of my services was to dress Srila Prabhupada, his murti. And in the winter, it was so freezing cold that I would first, even though his clothes were all ironed, waiting to be put on him, I would take each outfit that I was going to be putting on and iron it so it would be warm when I would put that on him. So I thought this was just a very sweet appreciation of how Srila Prabhupada is present in his murti form for everyone. And of course, he's absolutely present in his body. So everyone for the next 10,000 years has full opportunity to get intimate association with Srila Prabhupada.
Adide Prabhu, and then Gopishwari.
Thank you, Mother Ragatamaka, for giving me an intro, because I wanted to glorify a devotee of Srila Prabhupada's who actually made these murtis possible. His name is Lochan Das. And I just thought, we see, worship, garland, dress, sing to these murtis all over the world. I wanted to give a little history of how those murtis came to pass. Several devotees, including myself, were invited to go to India back in 1973, summer 73. We studied there bhakti yoga. We also studied making dolls. Srila Prabhupada had hired a man to teach us Bengali, young Bengali man to teach us sculpture. After spending a couple of years in India, we came back to America, a devotee named Bhardwaj and I, Gauravani's father. And we were in Los Angeles, and we had been given the service of creating museums, multimedia museums, glorifying the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. This was in 74, Los Angeles. There was two words that was the mantra of everyone in Los Angeles: book distribution. That's all there was in Los Angeles. And so Bhardwaj and I were having a hard time finding other like-minded devotees with creative skills to put together these museums, and there's a large order. And so after some time, we heard that there was a devotee living in the community a little bit apart who was very gifted. And so we went to his house. And there was this devotee. His name is Lochan Das. He was working for a company. He was working actually for the Madame Trudeau Wax Museum. And he was creating, I think at that time he was working on Johnny Cash and Marilyn Monroe. And we went into his home, and he had the heads of them that he was working, and they looked exactly like Marilyn Monroe and Johnny Cash. You know, I'm thinking, whoa. And so we talked to Lochan, and we went back several times and, you know, tried to encourage him, and he did. He came and started working with us. And so one of the first likenesses of Srila Prabhupada that he made was the famous writing Prabhupada that's in the LA Museum right now. And Prabhupada actually came to Fate Studios and saw that piece. We had taken photographs of Prabhupada's head and sent it to Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada wrote back and said, "Lochan is super excellent," and which he was, which he is. And so he created that display, and then after Prabhupada's departure, I had the opportunity of watching Lochan work on the life-size murti that we see here in our temple room in the backyard of Faith Studio, standing as far as I am to the back wall back there, and he had photographs, little pictures that he cut out of BTG's books here, there, and yonder, pasted onto a board, and he would stand and look at the object that he was creating, the murti that he was creating, and then walk over, make a few changes, walk back again, make a few changes, walk back. I mean, this went on for days. You know? Gradually, the murti took its full form. There was a mold made. We had to learn how to make casts. Our situation, our facility changed. We were in a much larger facility. There's a devotee, Shiladiki, maybe you remember his name, who's kind of in charge of the casting back there on Hayden Street in Los Angeles. Started with a Y, I can't remember his name. Yadavachar. And so word got out that there was a murti of Srila Prabhupada, and orders came in from all over the world. And that was our task then, was to supply ISKCON with these murtis. And at one point, I mean, we had the room that they were being created in and finished in was probably as long as this temple room, but it was narrower. And at one point, we had Prabhupada murtis lined up on this work table, the entire length of that room. And there's a famous photograph. And Yadavacharya is down at the other end with a big grin on his face. with this picture of Prabhupada all the way down the room. We brought in a few ladies to help us with the finishing and the sanding, and I remember, and they were from I believe they're from Mexico, didn't speak hardly any English, and I asked one of them after she'd been working with us for a while. I said, "Do you ever think about this form that you're working with?" She said, "I dream of him every night." You know? And so there was a team that was casting, there's a team that was finishing, there's a team that were painting, and there was a team that were building crates and sending these murtis all over the world. Lochan made a three-quarter size Prabhupada. He made the one that we see here. He made the two on the altar, the Prabhupada and Bhakti Siddhanta. I've heard that there's a Bhakti Vinod that he made that a devotee here in town has, I believe. Yeah. And anyway, so these have been given and worshipped.
And the samadhis.
And oh, that's right.
Rest,
and that's right.
Rest,
that's right.
The samadhis.
The architect of the Krishna Balaram Mandir, his name is Surabhi Maharaj, asked if I knew of anyone that did casting, that would cast these bigger than life size murtis. And I knew a devotee in Comfort, Texas, who had a studio for casting bronze. And Lochan went there and worked with him. And I don't think it ever manifested, but it was definitely an adventure. And then Lochan ended up going to India, I believe, and getting the murtis cast and brought. And that was a whole other adventure. But I just wanted to give you all a little history. This is my god brother, Lochan Das.
Advaita Acharya, who will speak after Mukhopishwari.
Jai Srila Prabhupada, Vancha Kapha Vrushyascha, Kripa Sindhuvya Evacha, Patitanam Padanethya, Vaishnavetya Namorama. So I wanted to testify to the fact that Srila Prabhupada's Vani is readily available to everyone through a few stories in my own life. It was 1978, and I found myself back in New York City after some upheavals in my life. I had been studying mystic yoga for some years with a very adept guru, but at the time I needed my mystic yoga the most, it failed me, and so I pretty much gave up on spiritual life. And I was a business person at that time, and but I was not happy, and I was very dissatisfied. And so I was very much starting to meditate on the fact that I had to continue somehow in my spiritual life. And so there was one occult bookstore at that time in New York. I can't think of the name of it right now. But I went to that bookstore because I thought, well, let me look for a book and see what I can do to increase my understanding. And so I looked and looked and couldn't find anything. And as I was about to leave, there was a book on the counter, Easy Journey to Other Planets, which was just perfect for me because that's all I wanted to do, is get out of my body and astral travel and all kinds of things. And I thought, oh my goodness, this is amazing. Easy Journey to Other Planets. So I took it home and I read it, and I was definitely moved. I thought, this is the absolute truth. This is what I've been looking for. But still, I didn't do anything about it. But as Krishna would arrange it, it seems that every place I went in New York City, I would meet the devotees.
I was walking, because I was in sales at that time, I was walking on Rockefeller Center, and there were the devotees chanting. And I had money in those days, so I would always give a donation. So they were always glad to see me, and so we had some interaction. I would go on the subway, and a devotee would pin a flower on me. Seems that I couldn't avoid the devotees. And so one day, but still, that book didn't affect me to the point that I was going to do anything. But one day I thought, you know, the spiritual master that I was studying with, he was a strong devotee of Lord Shiva. And so I thought, well, I think that's the next step in my spiritual life. I have to worship Lord Shiva. That's the next step. I'm sure that's what I have to do. So I thought, well, how can I find a temple of Lord Shiva in New York City? Now, this was in 78. Now there are temples of Lord Shiva in New York City, but at that time. And so I thought, how can I do that? I thought, I'm going to call the Hare Krishna temple. They'll be able to tell me where I can worship Lord Shiva. So I called the Hare Krishna temple, and I asked the question, can you tell me where is the nearest temple where Lord Shiva can be worshipped? And the voice on the other end of the phone said, I don't know about that, but I can tell you that if you worship Lord Krishna, Lord Shiva will be very happy. I said, what's your address? I thought, okay, we'll start there. What's your address? So I came into the temple. I asked where the temple room was. The devotees weren't much around at that time because like Mother Ragatmika and so many others, they were all out on book distribution in those days. So I was there by myself most of the time. But I knew how to pay obeisances because I had been studying with this other spiritual master. And so I paid my obeisances, and all of a sudden this sound entered into my ears. And so help me, Krishna, it entered into my heart. It was Srila Prabhupada chanting the samsara prayers. And there it was. The spiritual master was raining down mercy, and I could feel it just in that moment. I was so moved by that song. And so after I left the temple room, I went into the temple store, where I finally had the opportunity to associate with some devotees. Tulsi Ananda was there, Purusharta's wife at that time, and another devotee, Kapindra, he was there. And so I said, I must have a copy of that tape that was playing. And so Tulsi Ananda searched high and low, and she couldn't find it. And she said, wait a minute, I'll give you the store copy. We'll get another copy sometime. I can see you really want this. I'll give you the store copy. And so I took that tape home, and I just memorized it as best I could. And when I finally read the English translation, I just was blown away. I just couldn't believe it, because I really felt that Srila Prabhupada's mercy was there. Then, to my good fortune, through a lot of different pastimes, which I won't go into at this moment, I was able to make friends with the devotees. But still, it took me 6 years to surrender. I mean, I became a life member. Kapindra made me a life member, and so I was very much a part of things, but I still had this idea that I wanted to be successful in business. And so finally, in 1984, through Rameshwar Prabhu, I moved to Los Angeles and took up spiritual life after that. And by the mercy of the devotees, I'm still here today. And also I want to say that I've had the great good fortune and blessing to be able to be one of the devotees that takes care of Srila Prabhupada's Murti. And I recommend that very strongly. We always need devotees to help in that way. And it's an absolutely incredible meditation that really brings you very, very close to Srila Prabhupada. In those early days, I also had a lot of dreams by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, because I would sit in front of his Murti and read Srimad Bhagavatam at lunchtime every day. And I was having the most amazing dreams. And this was his vani, and it helped to convince me completely that he was my eternal spiritual master. There was no question in my mind.
But serving Srila Prabhupada's murti is also an unbelievable treasure, but I hadn't had any dreams in many, many, many years, and so one day when I was dressing, I was revealing that to Srila Prabhupada, how much I enjoyed my association with him back in the day. And I had a dream, and I had been feeling like, oh, I don't know, should I continue this service? Because sometimes I just regard it as a murti. I can't always have this intense feeling that this is Srila Prabhupada. And I can't tell you entirely my dream. It's very personal, but the first thing I remember is in the dream, Srila Prabhupada stood up. He was sitting on the Vyasasan like he is now, and then he stood up and just stood in front of me and said, so? And there he was. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada. Thank you.
Okay, Acharya Guru and then Mother Vaishnavi.
स्वामी नामने नामास्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारने मैं विशेष शून्यवादी आश्चर्य देशाता में योर डिवाइन ग्रेस योर एमिनेंस योर मैजिस्टी अभय चरण Bhakti Vedanta Swami. Today is the most tragic day that 33 years ago you departed from this planet in ISKCON complex in Vrindavan in the evening time. Nothing materially dramatic happened except individually those who were dedicated followers were shattered but accepted that Lord, just like grandfather Bhishma Pitama, He could pick the time, the date, and mode of his departure. Likewise, you also chose the time, the place, and the mode of your departure. Those who think that it could have been different would be very, very needs correction because a Paramhansa can decide to pick time of departure. And your divine grace, you did. Those who were with you, those who were nursing you, those who wanted you to live, they may not have been very mature, very resourceful, but they did the best they could. And they prayed for your health. But you had chosen your time of departure, and you left at that moment to live with us forever. And many more will come and testify that your message and you are for next 10,000 years. And it is not just a saying, it is a fact. You are the most photographed saint of 60s and 70s. Lots of false prophets came in those turbulent times. Your mission has the staying power, because your divine grace, you gave us four instructions. I don't hear them recited more often as I did in 70s and 80s. As a matter of fact, my dear friends, brothers and sisters, you may recollect when I recite, you said, your divine grace, you said, your followers to follow four things. And these are not regulative principles, which they must. But these four edicts, number one, you said, mission of ISKCON, preaching is the essence. Now you can make up all your mind how you interpret this edict, this order. Preaching is the essence. Everything works around preaching. Your divine grace, you gave the second edict, and you said, purity is the force, purity of purpose. That will be the force that my followers will be empowered. So first, preaching is the essence. Second, purity of your character, purity of your intention, and I'm adding that, but your divine grace just said, purity is the force. And we can dwell on that, think about it, and live in that. Third edict that you gave was, books are the basis. Which books? You never mentioned, but we understood, and coming generations will understand, that your books, interpreted by your divine grace, they will be the basis, fundamental basis, of our mission of ISKCON. So after books are the basis, what was the fourth edict that His Divine Grace gave us? Utility is the principle. And how do we interpret utility is the principle? Utility is the principle being 70-year-old, coming all by himself without any friends, without any money, going to Butler, Pennsylvania, then staying in Manhattan, New York, and then struggling on Second Avenue, and then moving to San Francisco. Utility is the basis. How you utilize the resources given to you by Krishna, by Radharani. So, preaching is the essence. Purity is the force, books are the basis, and utility is the principle. Please, young men and women of our mission, think about these four fundamental edicts that His Divine Grace gave us and told us to follow. Now, in addition to that, following those four addicts. I will just, the reason I use these honorary adjectives in addressing His divine grace. Some people may think I am sentimental. Some people may think Swamiji is a sannyasi. He does not need all these titles. However, I just want to say that in 1935, Your divine grace wrote a homage to your spiritual master. 8 stanzas, 8 collection of, and you presented it to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj. If you remember, fine. If not, today is the day that we should remember. The 6th stanza of your homage, it was total of number 8, you gave 6th. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj appreciated that very much. What was that? You said, you wrote to him, Absolute is sentient. Tao had proved. Impersonal calamity. Tao have removed. This gives us life. Anew and fresh. Worship thy feet, your divine grace. This is the proper way to address your guru, his divine grace. It is not whimsical. His divine grace honored his guru. How many of us in ISKCON today, irrespective of how many years we have spent, will call him Prabhupada? Some unfortunate people in that underworld of internet ISKCON write SP. That's all they do, write SP. SP said this, SP said that. Nobody stepped forward from his original disciples. Nobody stepped forward from his GBC and said, no, he should be only addressed as his divine grace, because he used this address to his guru. So if I can make one thing to all of us clear, that never take His Divine Grace's name in vain. Christians will never take the name of Pope. Mohammedans will never take the name of Muhammad without reciting full paragraph, then calling him most respectful. So we in ISKCON take it upon ourselves. And today we propose that whenever we hear His Divine Grace name is being mentioned, we should very humbly and gently request the person, please, he is our founder Acharya. He made us what we are today. And you are sitting in his temple, or you are talking to one of his followers. please, we expect you to use the term His divine grace. And if we do that, then more and more and more people will start to do that, because He wanted that. And I gave you a proof that He addressed His guru in that respect of your divine grace. So, your divine grace, your eminence, your majesty, you are the savior. You came to save the humankind from the clutches of Maya. And we must be jubilant, we must be happy that unless and until we take complete shelter unto you, as long as we will be looking at other alternatives, our covenant with you is not complete. So let's be serious at our age. When His divine grace came, most of us were not even here. Or 10,000 years, most of them who are going to follow us are not even born yet. Our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, great-great-great-great-grandchildren. But they are coming. And now it is up to us. Either we be wishy-washy about our covenant with His divine grace, or we be firm in this conviction that there is no other way except for edict that He gave us. And that should be the mission of our life as long as we claim to be in ISKCON. So I'll just repeat one more time for your divine grace so that you can correct me, that you said and you ordered, preaching is the essence, purity is the force, books are the basis, and utility is the principle. So please bless us. This is not the time to be sent.